Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Jackson Lloyd. He is the host of the NBA Action with Jackson podcast, and he's also an NBA writer for Roll Call Sports. On the program, we discussed the 2022-2023 Minnesota Timberwolves regular season. We also discussed head coach Chris Finch. Also, we discussed Anthony Edwards, also Karl Anthony Towns. Also, we talk about the situation that happened between Rudy Gobert and Kyle Anderson and much more, including the Timberwolves being in the play-in tournament. Jackson is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Emotions boiling over here at Target Center. Very important game, regular season finale. And we had a scuffle on the Timberwolves bench. Anderson and Rudy Gobert. That's just something you don't see every day. I know the tensions you've played in this game. You've been in a lot of heated battles, but
I don't know that I've ever seen. There. I've never personally been on a team where a teammate punched. That's out of bounds.
You can see Jaden McDaniels right here. When he swings, he grabs his hand immediately.
Got his miss. Towns, great. Good. Puts it up and through. Towns with Davis defending.
Oh, that's special.
Anthony Towns with a beauty.
Oh, that's special.
LeBron takes it in. Gets it out. Schroeder. For the open man. It's a three up.
And it's a foul on Anthony Davis.
And Anthony
contesting.
Davis.
Oh my goodness, what you want? Oh man, that's pressure. That is absolute pressure.
And we've got overtime.
Oh my goodness.
Good feed, Davis.
Schroeder been in the second half. We weren't even wondering if he was going to come back after that turn left ankle.
Into Davis. Good looking pass.
Did you see how high LeBron threw the ball? There was only one man in this building that was going to be able to get it, and that was AD.
The Los Angeles Lakers will play the 2-seed Memphis Grizzlies.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NBA, the National Basketball Association, Valley Sports North, and also the footage was courtesy of Turner Sports with the NBA on TNT. You heard Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan on the call of the Minnesota Timberwolves in the play-in game against the Los Angeles Lakers, unfortunately losing in overtime 108-102. However, the Timberwolves have an opportunity to redeem themselves as they'll take on the Oklahoma City Thunder to determine who will be the 8th seed in the Western Conference. To talk more about the Timberwolves 2022-2023 season, also the T-Wolves being in the play-in tournament, let's welcome him back to the program. He is the host of the NBA Action with Jackson podcast, and he's an NBA writer for Roll Call Sports, Jackson Lloyd. Hey, Jackson, welcome back to the program, my man.
Thanks for having me on again, Ed. I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So much has happened with the T-Wolves as of recent. We're going to get to all of those things in just a moment, but I want to start off talking about head coach Chris Finch. He's been with the T-Wolves for really a short amount of time, but he's done a lot of great things so far since this is currently his 3rd season with the T-Wolves. His first year with the team missed the playoffs, which was the year after the bubble. And then last year they wound up losing in the first round. But this year, success with the T-Wolves, and of course, they're in the play-in tournament. Give me your thoughts on Coach Finch in his 2022-2023 season.
I've seen some mixed reviews and general criticism of Finch this season, and I do think that it's been a little disappointing from the Timberwolves this year just because we've never gotten to see them click. Even in stretches earlier in the season when they were healthier, it didn't quite come together. They started 16-21, hovered around 500 for the entire season. But I think that Finch has done a pretty good job, all things considered, this year. Cat missing 53 games. That's tough to keep the unit together, keep faith, keep pushing. Anthony Edwards making the All-Star team, Jaden McDaniels having an all-defense case, and just kind of everything that they've had to work through and juggle to get to where they are, I'm pretty satisfied with Finch. He actually got the season. He became the second coach in franchise history. As sad as that sounds, a lot of coaches in Minnesota don't exactly have long tenures, and almost every single one goes out on a losing note. So I think Finch has done a pretty good job. Now, if they lost tonight against the Thunder, that would definitely be disappointing. If they win, I think that you put up an admirable fight in the first round, you can view this season as a success if you view it through the lens of, okay, Cat got hurt. Him and Gobert had one practice together in training camp. They never got to fully play into each other's skill sets. Looking forward, they still have Cat, Ant, Gobert, McDaniels, good role pieces, and Torian Prince and Kyle Anderson. They kind of have a nucleus there. Let's keep going with that, adjust off it, make changes on the margin, and see what we have, because I think this team, for all their struggles, I do think there's a scenario where they break through and they're a team that can be a 3 or 4 seed in the Western Conference down the line.
Rightfully so, and again, the talent is there. I mean, just the Western Conference alone is so talented with great teams and great superstar players, and if anybody that, as you said, Jackson, that has the cachet to really make things happen, it would be Chris Finch. And again, he's done some great things in such a short amount of time as being the head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And speaking of a short amount of time, Mike Conley Jr., again, he was brought over in the trade deadline from the Utah Jazz. We know about those solid seasons that he had in Memphis and some great seasons that he had in Utah, but he comes over in the trade deadline from the Utah Jazz, and again, another typical Mike Conley year in terms of his stats, putting up points and doing what he needs to do to get the job done in terms of shooting, and especially shooting from three-point range. Give me your thoughts on Conley arriving to the T-Wolves and what his contribution has been this season.
I think Conley's been solid for the Timberwolves. I thought the D'Lo played well for them, but I think the shift to Conley was more about D'Lo's contract situation, as well as trying to acclimate and find a way to make Gobert fit as seamlessly as possible. I think that Rudy, Kyle Anderson, and Conley have shown great chemistry on the court. It's funny that I say that now, given the little scuffle they had the other day, but I think that the way Conley fits with the starters is pretty good for that fourth or fifth guy out there. I think that you have him alongside Jaden McDaniels, Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Rudy Gobert. That's a good starting unit. Then you can mix and match a bit with Torian Prince and Kyle Anderson. I think that, for the most part, those seven guys, you can find winning combinations with them and find three-man duos or three-man lineups, two-man duos, et cetera, that fit together and empower each other and bring out the best, because there have been times this season where it looked like the Timberwolves have never played together. They're one of the worst teams in the league at valuing the basketball, turning it over, and then getting back in transition, playing transition defense. And those things are so interconnected that if you turn it over, your transition defense is going to be worse. If your transition defense is bad, there's almost no way that your defense is going to be good. So I think that Conley has been a steady in hand for the team. Again, I want to reemphasize, I think that D'Lo was good for the Timberwolves. I think he's a really good player. I think this shift was just more about what they want out of the point guard position, and then it was complicated by Russell's contract situation with him being a free agent. So pretty strong play throughout the entire year from the guard spot, in my opinion, but I definitely like the Conley fit based on what I've seen.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one, Jackson. I think Conley brings a unique element to that team. As you stated earlier, just giving them more offense and giving them the veteran leadership that they need on that team. And, you know, somebody that we talk about, that we talked about veteran leadership with Mike Conley, was someone that's a part of the youth movement and someone that's continuing to be a rising star in the NBA, and that's Anthony Edwards. And only his third year in the league, man, we've seen improvements in scoring, also field goal percentage during this season. And Anthony Edwards, again, he's someone that's, he's developing a resume That's must-see TV. Made his first All-Star team this year. Give me your thoughts on Anthony and his play this year.
I think it's been an excellent season from Anthony Edwards. There's been some struggles along the way, but if you would have told me and if you would have told me that Cat is going to miss three quarters of the season and how that would impact Ant and the rest of the team, I would have been ecstatic if he said he made the All-Star team and they were above 500 with a chance to clinch a playoff spot. I know that that's not the lofty goals they had before the season. Many people, myself included, had them winning a playoff series. I actually had them making the conference finals and losing. But this has been a great year from Edwards. Just the strides we've seen since the middle of his rookie season to now, he's still got some areas to grow as a passer against double teams when he sees that extra added attention from the defense. But you can see the wheels turn, the lights starting to come on. And I know the last game against the Lakers was brutal, but with a more wide view, I am just so pleased with this season from Edwards. I think that with the franchise in his hands, it's in a great spot. A lot of teams should be envious of the position the Timberwolves are in. I know people have said they mortgage their future in the Rudy trade, but I think they're in a great spot with Edwards and McDaniels, and obviously Carl Anthony Towns too.
I want to stay just with Edwards for a moment. Again, I've talked about the youth movement in mentioning with Anthony Edwards. Where does Anthony rank, I should say, amongst the movement of current crop of players in the NBA in his age group with the likes of a Ja Morant and a Donovan Mitchell and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? What do you see him amongst that crop of talent currently in the NBA?
Players are better right now, and I don't know if this is a hot take or not, though. I do think that he will surpass all of them someday. It's easy to forget, given how much is going on in the NBA now, but this is Anthony Edwards' third season, and he's only 21 years old. He's younger than Evan Mobley, if I'm not mistaken. And, again, the progress we've seen from him and then the peers he's being compared to. Donovan Mitchell came into the league in 2017. SGA came in 2018. So these are guys that are multiple years ahead in their developmental curve. And while Ant is not quite to that level yet, he's right there. I think he makes the All-NBA team next season. And then within 3 years after that, I expect him to be a yearly MVP candidate. One of the top 3 to 5 best players in the league. That's how high I am on Edwards.
Yeah, he definitely has the potential, Jackson, and certainly you could put him up there with those gentlemen that we talked about earlier. And certainly, as they say, the star continues to rise high for Anthony Edwards. And speaking of Anthony Edwards, you mentioned the other gentleman's name earlier, Carl Anthony Towns. You talk about the nucleus and the potential, how high the team can go in terms of the talent that they have. Carl Anthony Towns, again, one of the best shooting big men in the NBA, really one of the best two-way players in the league, but he's had his difficulties this year battling a lot of injuries. Give me your thoughts on Cat in his regular season.
I think that since Cat came back, he's been tremendous. It's tough whenever you miss 3 or 4 months, 53 games, just to get your conditioning and stamina up to where it needs to be and then get back in your rhythm as a player. You reacclimated into the rotation and hit your stride simultaneously with the team in the midst of a playoff mix. But I think he's been great. He's making quick decisions. I feel like he's had less bonehead offensive fouls where he charges into the defender. And I think that we're seeing gradually, maybe slower than many would like, but we're seeing signs of growth from Carl Anthony Towns. In previous years, I think that officiating has gotten to him and over the years, officiating has got to him and impacted how he's performed throughout the game, especially if he picks up 3, 4, 5 fouls. Now, with that said, in the Lakers game, he did pick up 5 fouls, and at that point, we saw a less assertive, a less aggressive Carl Anthony Towns. I think that the physicality and just overall unrelentless and athleticism of Anthony Davis and just how spry and nimble he is attacking the glass, I think that definitely got to Towns and was a matchup problem for him towards the end of the game for him and Kyle Anderson in particular. But this season, very pleased with Cat. I think that if he can ever get to a stretch where he's playing 30, 40, 50 consecutive games in a row again, people are going to see the talent he is, because for the first 3, 4, 5 years of his career, he was an Iron Man. Then, some bad luck, untimely injuries, personal tragedies, whole world going through a pandemic, all that stuff kind of combined together and made just a brutal cocktail for him. But great season from him. I hope we see an extended stretch of health, and I'm just excited to watch it all play out.
We talked about Anthony Edwards being a franchise player for the Timberwolves. Does Carl enjoy playing, being in Minnesota, and where do you see him going forward? Do you see him continuing to be one of the franchise players for the Timberwolves, or do you see him maybe exiting, maybe down the line if they can't get the right personnel to help him win a championship or get to that next level?
I'm not sure, to be honest. It's hard to know how each player is thinking and feels about a particular situation. There's been instances where a player requests a trade where I've been blindsided by it. And then there's situations where you think a player should request a trade and they never do because of their comfort and kind of attachment to a city or team. I think that last season was kind of a danger zone for the Timberwolves if they didn't have some signs of improvement. They started 4-9, and it was just the sky is falling, going downhill. But they ultimately turned it around, won the play-in game versus the Clippers, and put up a fight in a very interesting series in the first round against the Memphis Grizzlies. I think that kind of showcased an outline and blueprint for what the team can be if they iron out the wrinkles with the turnovers, decision-making, late-game execution. So after last season, I think that kicked the can down the road for Towns. How he's feeling right now, I'm not sure. This season has definitely been just on the more disappointing side from a results-based standpoint, but I think the Timberwolves are in a great spot with or without Towns, to be honest, because if they did trade him, while his value wouldn't be as high as some of the other recent superstars we've seen traded, like Anthony Davis, Paul George, James Harden, et cetera, he's still an all-league player, multi-time all-star. While he's not one of the best 5 or 10 players in the league, he can be one of your cornerstones. So the only question mark with Cat, really, is the inconsistent and unsteady health. And some of that is, I think, just bad luck, because it's not like these injuries are related or compounding with each other. It's just stuff that happens, like the arm injury. Then he has the cast soft tissue injury this year. It's really tricky, but either way, I like where the team is. I like how Towns is playing, but it's just difficult to kind of gauge how everyone is feeling about a given situation with so much going on in the inside that I'm obviously not proxy to.
Understood, and hopefully, again, you know, Carl Anthony Towns is a great talent. Hopefully he can stick around, you know, in the future for Minnesota, what they can build on with him and Anthony Edwards. And speaking of trying to build on something, we talked about the incident briefly, and I want you to give us more of an insight on specifically what happened. Rudy Gobert, we know Rudy was traded in the offseason to the Minnesota Timberwolves, coming over from the Utah Jazz, and we know he's one of the best defenders in the league. He's won the Defensive Player of the Year multiple times. Kyle Anderson was a guy that was very vital to the success of the Memphis Grizzlies in terms of getting to the playoffs, being a quality bench player. Well, let's just say Rudy and Kyle got into some fisticuffs final day of the regular season when the Timberwolves faced the New Orleans Pelicans. I got to ask you this, Jackson, because I know you're much closer to the situation being in Minnesota and covering the team quite often. What was the situation behind these two going at it, and what has happened in the aftermath of this in terms of team bonding and chemistry and Rudy and Kyle trying to get back what they once had as teammates?
I think that it was just typical disappointment or being upset with the teammate for not executing to the level that you'd like, because everything is interconnected defensively. One weak chain breaks the whole link. And I think that was just a kind of snapshot in the moment. Two guys in a big game, because this game was the difference between the Pelicans and Timberwolves, the difference between the 8th seed and the 9th seed for the Timberwolves. They actually could have gone up to 7 if a couple games played out differently, but in short, it was 8th seed or 9th seed if they won or lost this game. So big game, more or less a playoff game to some extent. You have to win 2 out of 3 either way based on how their placement in the standings is, excuse me. So that's huge. That adds to the intensity and kind of just stature of the scenario. I don't think it's something that'll hang with them long term. I think they're professionals. I think that even if they did have some issue with one another, it's not something that would continue to bleed into the team itself. Now, some of that stuff, if it were an issue, not saying it is, it might show up on the court chemistry-wise, but as I mentioned earlier, I think those two play really well together with some of the high-low passing from Anderson. Anderson's given him some lobs. Anderson plays a ton of the power forward spot. So those two players, I'm not worried about them in particular. I think the Timberwolves core as a whole is good. I think they just need to play for a sustained period together and see where the chips fall. If you lose, you lose. But you want to evaluate the team holistically and kind of put each player in the role you envision them in before you get too caught up in these guys don't fit or these guys don't get along. I think it's something you have to, you know, run off the ground ball the season. Then once we get to the draft, free agency, et cetera, see what other teams are doing on the open market, you can evaluate it. But for now, I'm not too concerned with the situation. Again, I'm not on the inside necessarily, but just my view of watching the team night in and night out and what I know of these two players, I think that both are in some leadership role in some capacity with the team. So I think that it's something that'll be squashed and figured out. I think the biggest issue with it was that it was on TV. If it happened at a practice, I think it would be swept under the rug with almost no mention.
Well, speaking of unfortunately something else that was mentioned. So we had the situation that came about with Gobert and Anderson. Jaden McDaniels, he had a bout of frustration and anger as well, punching the wall because of things weren't going well at that particular time for the T-Wolves. What's the latest on Jaden, and what's his recovery going to be like moving forward?
It's just so unfortunate. I feel really bad for Jaden McDaniels. Apparently he thought that the wall that he hit was just a tarp, and then there ended up being a sheet of concrete, the wall beyond it. So that's bad luck. Obviously, know the situation, know your importance to the team, but I definitely feel for him. I saw on Twitter, I can't remember who made the tweet, but Marvin Bagley had a similar injury, I want to say last season, and he missed 54 days. So if that Daniels, his season is effectively over, unless the Timberwolves made the finals and he'd be able to return at some point. So I'm viewing or treating McDaniels as done for the season, essentially a non-factor moving forward, which is so disappointing because he was playing at an all-league level defensively, and he was giving us the breadcrumbs and kind of flashes offensively, making 1 and 2 dribble pull-ups, making plays as a driver, finishing at the rim with power and force. And we were kind of seeing, not the total package necessarily, but we were seeing exactly what his skill set is on the defensive end. And then he was saying, like, oh, here's X, Y, and Z that I can do offensively, and I'm a perfect fit with Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm a perfect fit with Anthony Edwards. Just brutal timing, and I think that it's something that he'll learn from and be better because of it.
Yeah, I hope so, because, I mean, Jaden has developed a reputation of being a solid defender, and I know the T-Wolves going forward can't lose him to certainly injuries or any silly stuff happening, so they're definitely going to need him going forward, however a long amount of time he is in Minnesota. Jackson, I want to talk now more about the Timberwolves being in the play-in tournament. We saw the drama that took place in the play-in tournament last year for all of the right reasons involving Minnesota. Patrick Beverley, he wowed us tournament last year. We saw Anthony Edwards come of age. We saw Karl-Anthony Towns and a host of others do their thing. They wind up getting a 7th seed last year in the play-in tournament. This year, tough loss to the Lakers, but they have an opportunity to rebound against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Just give me your thoughts on the T-Wolves being in the play-in tournament and what this does just kind of for the morale of the team and more so morale for the city of Minneapolis and its fans.
I think that the team would definitely prefer if they would have gotten the sixth seed, but the energy in the city is pretty good. I feel like it's exciting times to be a Minnesota fan because the Twins are just getting started. The Timberwolves are in the play-in slash hopefully playoffs, and big game tonight. Obviously, biggest game of the season, win or go home. These intense moments are why players compete, why we play sports, and it would set up an interesting opportunity for them to build and grow off of last season's playoff loss. Difficult matchup versus two-time MVP if they do win, and Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets. But tonight's just going to be great because it's a great test. Two teams, the Oklahoma City Thunder, one of the youngest teams in the league, shock everyone. At least they shocked me this season with how good they were. I figured they would be one of the lottery bottom feeders, and they ended up not only making the play-in, but joining the Chicago Bulls as being the only 10 seeds to win the first play-in game. And what they have going with SGA, Josh Giddey, and the Williams at the five, and then Jalen Williams making the late season rookie of the year push, it's going to be a fun matchup. Both teams are playing solid basketball for the most part, and the Thunder, I wouldn't say that they're typical to many NBA teams because they're not switching a ton like many teams, but they're playing active players that they move well on the defensive end. It's not necessarily a switch-all team like some of the other more stout defenses in the league, but they're right there up towards the top of the league defensively. They play an undersized five with Williams, but he's one of the league leaders in charges drawn. I actually think he leads the league in charges drawn. So this matchup is going to be awesome because you have Carlin, who's a bit prone to offensive fouls. You have Williams, who he might have drawn 40 charges this season. I don't have the number off the top of my head, but every time I would watch an Oklahoma City Thunder game, they would be updating it in the game when he'd draw a foul, like 34 charges or whatever, leads the league. So this is going to be a fun game between two rejuvenated franchises and fan bases that I think they're just ecstatic, maybe less so in the Timberwolves case of where they are, because anytime you can have young stars like SGA and Anthony Edwards clash, that's incredible for the league, for the game, just moving it forward and entertainment value as a whole. Add on to that that it's a game seven, a win or go home, one and done type game. That's just incredible.
It is incredible, and I'll be the first to say, Jackson, that I really was not a fan of the NBA play-in tournament in the beginning, but I think last year's tournament really grew on me just for what we saw with the excitement of the games, and Minnesota was no exception to the rule. So slowly but surely, you know, the play-in tournament, as you said, it provides a lot of excitement for the city of Minneapolis and certainly can add to the drama as what we have with the Timberwolves and an opportunity to clinch that eighth seed against the Oklahoma City Thunder. You heard it from him. He's Jackson Lloyd. He is the host of the NBA Action with Jackson podcast and also an NBA writer for Roll Call Sports. Jackson, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. I just tell everybody what's going on tell everybody what's going on with the NBA Action with Jackson podcast and also with Roll Call Sports.
So my content creation is kind of in flux right now due to some just focusing on school and working a lot, just personal life stuff. But you can follow me on Twitter at Jackson Lloyd NBA. Eventually I'll start pumping out more NBA Action with Jackson podcast, and I do write on occasion for Roll Call Sports. But follow me on Twitter. That's where you'll find everything I do. And thank you so much, Ed, for having me on. I love coming on anytime.
You're welcome. I thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So one more time, Jackson, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, as well as the NBA Action with Jackson podcast, Roll Call Sports, and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
So my Twitter is at Jackson Lloyd NBA, and then the podcast name on Twitter is at NBA Action Pod, and it's been about a year since I've done the pod, but those are the two areas where you'll find me and see what I'm putting out, everything I'm working on. I'm always talking basketball on Twitter. It's my biggest hobby. What can I say?
All right, you got that, and you heard it from him. He is Jackson Lloyd. He is the host of the NBA Action with Jackson podcast. Also, he is an NBA writer for Roll Call Sports. Check him out. Jackson, again, thank you so much, my man. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Thank you so much, Ed.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after.
Emotions boiling over here at Target Center. A very important game, regular season finale. And we had a scuffle on the Timberwolves bench. Anderson and Rudy Gobert. That's just something you don't see every day. I know the tensions you've played in this game. You've been in a lot of heated battles, but
I don't know that I've ever seen. There. I've never personally been on a team where a teammate punched. That's out of bounds.
You can see Jaden McDaniels right here. When he swings, he grabs his hand immediately.
Not his miss. Towns, three. Good. Puts it up and through. Towns with Davis defending.
Oh, that's special.
Anthony Towns with a beauty.
Oh, that's special.
LeBron takes it in. Gets it out. Schroeder. For the open man. It's a three off.
And it's a foul on Anthony Davis.
And Anthony
contesting.
Davis.
Oh, my goodness. What you want? Oh, man, that's pressure. That is absolute pressure.
And we've got overtime.
Oh, my goodness.
Good feed, Davis.
How big has Schroeder been in the second half? We weren't even wondering if he was going to come back after that turn left ankle.
Into Davis. Good looking pass.
Did you see how high LeBron threw the ball? There was only one man in this building that was going to be able to get it, and that was AD.
The Los Angeles Lakers will play the 2-seed Memphis Grizzlies.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. It is Tom.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Jackson Lloyd, host of the NBA Action with Jackson podcast and an NBA writer for Roll Call Sports. Once again, a big special thank you to Jackson for coming on the program to talk about what's currently happening with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.